And welcome inside of this week's edition of What's Important Now. I'm Tom Sears. As always, thank you for being a part of our program as we do our best to battle for the soul of America. And we are here beginning a series on drug addiction. Before we get into all of that, we'd like to thank you for being here. Send us an email, whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. Thanks to all the faithful supporters of What's Important Now at New Beginnings Church. Find out more about our ministry, newbeginningswv.com. Don't forget to go to blogtalkradio.com/whatsimportantnow for our weekly 2-hour live radio broadcast and all of our archived messages there. Now we want to get to our discussion on this drug addiction issue. And right now joining us on the program is my sister Star. And back in 2008, she was on the front lines of this battle as the prescription drug abuse issue came to her home. Her husband, Eric, was arrested, and after his arrest, it became known that he was, in fact, addicted to prescription drugs. And I remember walking that road with her, and it was a very trying time, a lot of uncertainty in the family. Now, fast forward 7 years, and he is set free. He's been delivered by the power of God, and we were just amazed at what God can do. And so the entire point of this program is to give hope to those of you that may be battling this issue. And wherever you may be, I want you to know there's hope today. And so I'm gonna welcome Star to the program. Star, thanks for being here with us. And if you could, tell us a little bit about that day back in 2008.
Thanks for having me. Yes, that day when I received the phone call from Eric's mom, actually, to let me know that he had been arrested. Of course, I was devastated. She was devastated. And it was obviously I was completely caught off guard because I had no idea what was going on and that he had any issues. And it didn't come out right at first, but then, you know, like Pastor Tom had said, it was brought to light after he was arrested.
You said you were caught off guard. So a lot of people say that there are signs of drug abuse. I know you said that you were not aware while it was going on, but after the arrest and you found out and it was brought to light that he was addicted to prescription pills, did you look back on it and think, wow, why didn't I see this?
Yes. I mean, actually, I felt stupid because I thought I should have known. But yet, once I found out some of the side effects of people who abuse prescription drugs, I was able to see, you know, signs, the way he was tired all the time and would just, you know, fall asleep, but yet then have, like, periods of a lot of energy. So then I was able to realize, you know, and a lot of things made more sense to me after I realized what was going on. But you think I'm their spouse. I should have known this. And then you feel so stupid.
You know, a lot of people say that what goes along with this prescription drug problem are things like mood swings, you know, change in behavior. Did you see some of those things? I mean, again, looking back, did you see the change in behavior? Did you see the mood swings?
Yes, definitely. I definitely noticed that his moods would change pretty drastically from, you know, one time, you know, to the next.
So when he was arrested, and again, I remember that, but this is for the audience, because at the end of the day, Star, we want those listening to understand that there is hope, that, you know, God can do anything. But when he was arrested and he was in jail, talk about that moment. I mean, how did you feel as a wife? What emotions were you going through? What did it do to your marriage?
It was terrible. I have told a lot of people since then that I've always, you know, heard people say that you can die of a broken heart. And I remember during that time, it literally, I felt physical pain. It felt like somebody had ripped my heart out because I was completely thrown off guard. I had no idea. I felt completely betrayed because I had no idea that this was going on. But it was terrible. And that's why, you know, so many people that get addicted to these sort of things, they don't realize that you're not, it doesn't just affect you. It affects everyone around you. And I mean, it changes their lives. It affects their lives.
And what changes after the arrest? What did you see in Eric? I mean, when you, and I remember being there with you, we were sitting on the other side of the glass, and him in his orange jumpsuit. And what changes did you begin to see in him? What was taking place in him?
Well, he was obviously very ashamed that he was, you know, that he had brought himself to this place. And, you know, obviously at that point, it was a huge wake-up call to him that he needed to turn his life around, that he needed to make a change.
You know, during that time, he was in church. He was active in church. He was doing things in the church. And then all of a sudden, he was arrested. And I can remember trying to deal with it from a pastoral point of view. I mean, he wasn't just my brother-in-law, but he was a member of our church. And I can remember, you know, having to deal with that side of it. You know, I think what I'm trying to bring out here is that it doesn't matter who you are or where you are or what status in life you have, a churchgoer, a non-churchgoer, or a business person, or, you know, a construction worker or whatever, this problem can visit you no matter where you are if you're not careful. Would you agree?
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, it can affect anyone. It's, you know, we just have to choose that we are going to allow God to help us during those times when we're going through things in life that are hard to handle, and when we get really stressed out, that there is a way out, you know, that, you know, using drugs or prescription drugs or alcohol or whatever it may be, that those are only a temporary fix. But when we give our burdens and our stress and our troubles to God, He can give us a peace that even through those times of going through whatever we may be going through in our lives, and I know that some people go through things that I can't even wrap my mind around, but yet God is God, and He can do anything. And as long as we choose to give those things to Him, He can give us a peace regardless of any situation in our lives.
You were talking about feeling betrayed. You know, I know that marriage is about trust. How difficult was it to give trust back to your husband?
It was very difficult, and I can be very honest in saying that if it wasn't for God, it would never have happened. I just have to, you just have to get to a place to where you have to give them to God and realize that you cannot control, and it's obviously not God's intention for you to try to control them. They have to choose to do the right thing. And yet, you know, you get yourself into a bondage when you're trying to control and worry about what they're doing all the time. But when you give them to God and let them, you know, let God deal with their hearts, and really that's the only way that there's change anyway, because regardless of how much you want someone to change, they're not going to change for you. They may temporarily try to, but unless they allow God to make that difference in their life, there's not going to be that change.
So clearly you're pointing to your relationship with God as the catalyst for repairing that relationship that was so, broken because of some of Eric's choices. Now, I remember that time, and he seemed, like you said, ashamed, and I can remember him being, you know, scared, and there were so many things, and God brought restoration. God brought restoration to him. But let's rewind a little bit. You talked about betrayal, and I want to touch on this because I think there are listeners out there, you know, when you say, I felt stupid, I felt like I should have seen these things, I felt betrayed, what can they look for to realize that there's a problem? Just tell your story about what they can look for if they're in the same shoes that you are right now, they're concerned, they've noticed changes in their spouse or their family member, what exactly are they looking for? Why did you look back and say, wow, I feel so stupid? What was it?
Well, like you mentioned before, you know, there was the mood swings and the, you know, the mood changes. And, you know, and some people, you know, sometimes it's hard to notice those changes because everyone has different personalities. But yet even the, you know, the times of being full of energy and then just like, it's like they completely crash and are very tired, you know, after being really energetic. You know, and those are signs, but, you know, you want to be very, careful too, because, you know, someone's signs may be different than someone else's. It's important, you know, you can look, I'm sure, and find out, side effects to, you know, abusing prescription drugs and things like that, because, you know, you want to be careful, especially as a spouse, not to accuse someone, you know, when you're not sure. So again, I think it all comes back to that relationship with God that you have to have, and then you have to just pray and ask God to lead and guide you, as you know, to what you should to say or you know, things that you may confront, and ask God to show you if there's something going on, and then from that point ask him to guide you.
Some, and I've met these people, some spouses have come to me and said, you know, if they don't quit this behavior, and it is a struggle, and I always tried to tell people, listen, if you've never been addicted, you don't really understand, because it has a tight hold on you. And I've met with these spouses and they've said, you know, if they don't quit this stuff, I'm not going to stay. What made you stay? Why did you put yourself through that process of reconciling the relationship with your husband and helping him really hand in hand to get through his struggle?
Well, I guess also, like I mentioned earlier, how, you know, I realized at that point that, you know, I believe people can die of a broken heart. And I think even though all of that was going on, I realized at the same time, even though I felt so betrayed, I also realized how much I really loved him. And I loved him very much. And obviously I still love him very much. And I cared about him getting better, because like you said, I have never been addicted to anything, and I don't understand that. But yet there are a lot of people who have, you know, they are easily addicted to things. And so I just tried to look at it from his point of view and realize that I don't understand what he's going through. I don't understand that. So again, it just goes back to, you know, asking God to help you. I mean, and believe me, it's not easy. It's not easy, especially when you don't understand. But yet, you know, you choose to love them and you know, be there for them. And, you know, a lot of this, when this was going on, he had, you know, pawned off some of his possessions. Eric is an avid hunter. Anybody who knows him knows that he is all about hunting and fishing. He loves it. And, you know, during this time that all of this was going on and I was obviously oblivious to all of this, I found out later that he had pawned off his guns, some of his guns, in order to get money to buy, you know, the prescription medication. And I thought about it later, and see, you have to look at things this way. You just have to. I remember, because, you know, through the years of Eric and I being together, and this past March, we'd been married 14 years, and Eric is always so good, you know, about buying me nice, expensive jewelry and expensive gifts and stuff. And I thought, you know what? He pawned off those things that were so, so very important to him. Because again, he's, you know, he loves his hunting and stuff like that. But yet he could have easily have taken some of my jewelry and pawned it off without my knowledge at first. But yet he didn't do that. And so, You know, that said a lot to me as well. So you just have to ask God to help you and to have him, you know, God help you show them love and try to help them through it.
You were talking about him pawning off some of his guns and different things. And I can remember, you know, there were things that were sentimental to him as well, passed down through the family and everything. And this was all happening without your knowledge. Is that correct? You didn't know these things were going on?
Yeah, I had no idea because he kept his gun separate, like in a gun case. And I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. But no, I had no idea until after the fact that he had pawned his guns off.
And if I recall, that actually helped you, and I think you alluded to this, but that actually helped you understand, wow, this is a big problem. This is not Eric. Is that right?
Exactly. That let me know, you know, even beyond him being arrested, which was obviously huge. I was like, wow, he had a serious addiction to this. For him to, like I said, be such an avid hunter, and you know, he's all about hunting during hunting season and stuff. And when I found out he had pawned his guns, I knew what a hold that addiction had on his life. And that's, you know, there's other people that I know that I think, how could they do that? You know, there's people who have lost their children, you know, given their children up because of addiction in their life. But yet, you know, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around and to understand. But again, I do not know what it's like to have an addiction and to be addicted to those sort of things.
I think when we hear that a person who sells the things they love, things that are sentimental to them, that hold sentimental value in their hearts, when they sell those things or they start doing things that are different than they typically would, it begins to paint a picture of a person whose life is being controlled by this addiction. But yet at the same time, what I've heard you say is that it wasn't so controlled that it caused him to start taking your jewelry and different things. So there was a line that at least at that point in time he wasn't willing to cross. And I think that that was God's way of intervening, because it could have got a lot worse, to the point really of no return for you and for your marriage. But I believe God's grace was upon that. And I want to thank you for sharing your story. And I want to bring up, and we don't want to mention any names, but I want to bring up a recent situation that also come close to you and your family. Someone who was addicted to heroin and had a struggle with this, recently passed away. Just open up your heart and share that story if you can.
It's really difficult. And I've really had to pray about it. Because Eric and I, you know, God hasn't blessed us with children other than, you know, my nieces and nephews, which are like my children that I love so much. But for us to physically have our own children, you know, God has not seen fit to bless us with children. So when people around me and people close to me are blessed with children and they seem to take them for granted, you know, when you think of addiction and things like that, where, you know, they were addicted to heroin and they were given chance after chance to receive treatments, and they had family that was there for them, but yet they, you know, ended up going so far that they lost their children, and they knew that if they crossed a certain line that was going to happen. And it ended up happening that they lost their children because of the heroin addiction and because of the things that they did because of the heroin addiction. And that, you know, is another way that I had to have God help me just realize that he still loves them. And I don't understand their life. I don't understand the addiction. And there was a couple. They were both addicted to heroin, and they were the parents of the children that I'm speaking of. and the father of the children had been clean. I believe it was 18 months or something like that. As far as we know, he'd been clean, and he had been even helping other people. But yet, apparently, in a time of weakness, he chose to use again, and he used so much. Apparently, I'm assuming that his body, was no longer, he wasn't as resistant to the drug as he had been, because he hadn't used in so long that he overdosed, and of course he died. And it was obviously very, very heartbreaking. And it's so sad. It's so sad. If people could just realize again, and like I mentioned earlier, that when you do these things, you're not just affecting you. You're affecting everyone around you. And especially when, you know, you have children, and you have a spouse, and you have, you know, everybody has family, everybody has parents, and you don't, you know, before you choose to do these things, think about how you are affecting you are going to affect them sooner or later. What you have done is going to affect them.
Very sad story. I know that it just breaks my heart, and I've referenced that story multiple times. You being closer to it than I am, obviously, because it's, you know, it affects people that are, you know, Eric's family and different things. But I it's very difficult to hear these things. And you know, you were telling me how he was in church and how he was, you know, working, I think, at a mission and helping people. And then all of a sudden, he in a moment of weakness. And so I want to, as we conclude this, I want to just give Star an opportunity, if you can, to just talk to those people out there about hope that is in Jesus, if you would.
Again, I don't understand addiction, so I can't relate to where you're coming from that point of view. I can only relate from a family member that knows how it feels to have someone that you're very, very close to, that you're married to, that has had an addiction in the past. But I know from seeing the deliverance in Eric's life, and also from, you know, I have never been addicted to anything, but obviously all of us go through struggles in life, and life is hard. Life is not easy. But yet there is one, Jesus, who is our hope. He is our peace. He is our strength. And as long as we ask him into our heart and into our lives, and we give everything to him, all of our struggles, all of our stresses, whatever it is that we're going through, he will keep us. He will deliver us. But, you know, just like people who have an addiction, you know, they have to choose every day. I mean, every day it's a struggle. And, you know, and again, I don't know this from, because I've had an addiction, only from, you know, my family, but at the same time, I know what it's like every day just to live in life and have stresses. And most generally, people become addicted to things because they're trying to
escape.
Right. They're trying to escape. They're trying to, you know, make their problems go away by taking drugs or whatever they may be doing. And it just, the problems are still there. But with Jesus, He's there with you to carry you through, and he gives you peace and strength in every situation, because when we choose to serve him and we choose to follow him, he gives us strength to go through, and he carries us through everything in our life, and he everything works to our good. Even things that are bad, and even things that the enemy meant to destroy us, and the enemy meant to tear us down and to make us turn away from God if we already had a relationship with him. And then a lot of times people don't turn to God because they think that, you know, he's not there and he doesn't care. But that couldn't be farther from the truth. He loves us so much with a love that we can't even begin to understand or describe. He died for us. He died for all of us. Even, you know, if someone's listening now that is addicted to drugs and you've done horrible things, you know, okay, maybe you're in that same situation. Maybe you've done so much that you have lost your children and there's no hope of getting them back. We still serve a God that can turn all things around. He still loves you. He still loves you no matter what you have done. He died for you in that. He died for you knowing that you would do all of the things that you do, but yet he still chose. And I used to teach the younger kids years ago, and I would say to them, regardless of what you've done, God would have died for just you. Even if you were the only one, he would have died for just you. So remember that today, that, you know, a lot of times people feel like there's no one. I have nobody. But that is so much, so far from the truth, because there is, again, like I said, there is one who is there, and he loves us, and he is reaching out his hands to you. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. All you have to do is just ask him, and he is there.
Very well said. And if you're out there and you're hearing this and you feel like there is no hope and you feel like you don't know where to turn, where to go, listen, I want you to reach out to us. This is not about building a church. This is not about building a ministry. You reach out to us. If you're local in North Central West Virginia, you can find us online with our contact information, newbeginningswv.com. Again, that website, newbeginningswv.com. You can find an email address there. You can find a phone number. You give us a call, and we can't promise that we can fix you, but we can promise that we know the one who can. And we'll do our best to point you in the right direction to get you the help you need. And as we continue this series, we're going to continue with stories from those like Star, but also from those who have been addicted and been set free, and talk about their struggles as well. Listen, there is hope today. Please, please hear me. There is hope. And I know that this program is getting into the ears of those that need to hear it. And I'm praying for you. We are praying for you. Don't give up hope. God can come on the scene and work a miracle in your life. Don't give up hope. And with that, we're just about out of time, but I want to again thank Star for being here with us today. And remember, don't give up hope. If you'd like to contact us, you can go online, newbeginningswv.com. There's a phone number. There's an email address. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to email the radio program, you can do so by writing whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. And also, you can find us on Facebook, What's Important Now Radio Program, or Win Radio Program. You can follow me on Twitter at T Sears Win Radio, at T Sears Win Radio. If your mailing address, our mailing address is 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. BlogTalkRadio.com/ What's Important Now for this program and many other programs. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, fight the good fight of faith. Contend for the faith. There is a cause. It does matter. And it is important now. Encouraging you to join us next week and every week as we do our best to bring you What's Important Now. I'm Tom Sears. Have a blessed day. Take care, and God bless.
Choir. It's all God's children sing.